Coming up on today's show...
So many women have paved the way, and Caitlin continues to carry that torch, and she carries it so beautifully and with so much grace and just the ability for young girls to say, I want to be that. And, you know, just like when she was a little girl, she wanted to be like the players before her.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Try it. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's all, just once a week, really. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. One of the many things I enjoy about doing this is hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. When an athlete single-handedly secures a win for their team, the attention immediately goes to that one player. A walk-off home run in baseball, a buzzer-beating basket in basketball, an overtime-winning goal in hockey, a field goal on the last play of the game in football. But what about up in the owner's box or the executive suite where the general manager is sitting? They are looking down with great pride on the whole team. They are finding joy in all of what just played out. God watches down over us every day and is warmed by seeing us use what he has given us to bring glory and honor to him in how we share with others. We need to challenge ourselves to take this alternate perspective as we view these situations, or what I should call these opportunities. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 say, quote, "In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ," end quote. Or to read verse 11 from the Living Bible, "Because of what Christ has done, we have become gifts to God that he delights in." I have a friend who is dealing with so much relative to a condition that his wife has. It seems almost like a full-time job when he describes to me all the paperwork he has to do, the forms he has to fill out, and so on. I know that a lot of you, unfortunately, can relate. And then on top of it, there are the spiraling costs involved with it all. Are you tired of overpaying for your healthcare or being limited to a provider network? Look no further than Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM has affordable programs for every Christian and no provider network. Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played volleyball, tennis, and basketball in high school, and then went on to be a decorated athlete in college, playing Division I basketball, including being co-captain, getting named to the Holiday Classic All-Tournament team, and her team having four NCAA appearances. She is the producer of many films, including last year's Native Ball, Legacy of a Trailblazer, about a Native American female basketball player, and the documentary, Playing Like a Girl, The House That Rob Built, which will be available to PBS stations nationwide and the PBS Amazon Prime documentary channel starting November 1st. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Megan Harrington.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm excited to be with you today.
Yes, Megan, thank you. I've been looking forward to this. And shame on me, we traded a number of emails in the lead up to today, yet all I know is you're somewhere in the mountain time zone. I'm not sure what city and state you're in, but for some background setting, where were you actually born and raised, and what was the family size?
Born and raised in Missoula, Montana. I am the ninth of 11 children.
Wow. Wow. And where are you today?
I'm calling in from Missoula, Montana, and work for a company based in Los Angeles.
Wow. Okay. You did tell me in our emails that you are a cradle Catholic. Describe for us the presence of the Catholic faith in the Harrington household when you were a young girl.
I'll tell you, I won the parent lottery for sure. We had daily rosary before school, and it was non-negotiable. We could bring our blankets out, but you showed up. Dad would lead, mom by his side, or getting us breakfast and ready. Mass, you know, weekly, if not more. Funerals were very important. We went to a lot of funerals, and I'm grateful for that. Confession, my dad would have it written down for all of us, like when our last one was, when we needed to go. He's very organized in that way. Novenas, famous saying from my mom, offer it up, was a big one. And really just the model that they were of a mother and father. Certainly as I get older, I realize as a child, that was the greatest gift I could have been given, was that from a young age, just that bedrock. I'm so grateful.
And to what extent was there Catholic education?
My older siblings went to the Catholic school up until some of them graduated, but then at a certain point, there were so many of us, and we moved to the public school, cost prohibitive, and then just for many other reasons. But unfortunately, not all of us had a Catholic education, but we had a Catholic education in the model of our parents at the domestic church. And
Amen. That was a win. Amen. When I first introduced you, I stole your thunder a little bit, mentioning that in high school, you played volleyball, tennis, and basketball. When did you first start playing sports, though? Which one was your first sport? And was there one person who maybe encouraged you to start into playing? Or is it, I told you, I was the ninth of 11. There were a lot before me that were already leading the path.
There was a lot before me leading the path. But basketball, I remember as a little girl, my dad, when we moved into the house, the first thing he did is put a blacktop out back and a basket, and we would spend hours and hours just shooting and practicing, and you know, the things that maybe you don't see as much anymore. It's a real pure time of sports. So basketball was always my first love, but I loved tennis and volleyball. But five older brothers, it's just something you fall into, you fall in line.
Yeah, and for those of you that are new, every so often I like to kind of hit the reset button in terms of acknowledging that there are still people 5.5 years in that are just discovering Catholic Sports Radio. But to explain myself in terms of why I ask a guest, was there one person who encouraged them to start into playing? It's just to kind of shine a light on how influential someone can be on a young child, whether that is, in Megan's case, an older brother, or a lot of times we'll hear a guest talk about a parent that really encouraged them and stayed by their side, of course, through it. So those are things that I think get taken for granted. They seem very logical, but I think it's also something to really grab a hold of and embrace if that's you. Maybe you're a parent or even a grandparent who is starting a little one into sports, and understanding the power that you have in that, what the lessons they can learn and the value. You just heard Megan use the word peer. So a very important time and not something to be taken lightly. Megan, if you will show me a little grace, I'm going to plead ignorance when it comes to the University of Montana. Is that by any chance a Catholic school? Did you commute? Did you live on campus? And then also, with as decorated a basketball player as you were, I think we would all draw the conclusion that you were focused on your sport and presumably on your studies too, with the only question then being, how did your faith life look during your time as a student athlete?
The University of Montana, which is where I went to college, is in my hometown. And the fortunate thing growing up is we could go to school in our hometown, and mom and dad did not pay for our college. That was on us to do. And so I got a scholarship in my hometown. The Lady Grizz drew crowds of, geez, at certain times, 8,000, 9,000. I mean, just unbelievable community for women's basketball. And I'm close to my family. You know, when you said who's my dad is my hero in sports, and to be able to just stay home and play for family, for friends, for my university, that's all I ever wanted since I was a very, very little girl. So it's not a Catholic university. My faith still, though, was very important to me. And to try to keep that faith dialed in, I'm sure I did it imperfectly, but it was a very important aspect, along with the studies, along with school, basketball, you know, faith tried to keep that at the forefront. And I think I was lucky because I was at home as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that certainly being a commuter, and I do clearly understand, audience, that there are pros and cons to a student going in their hometown and pros and cons to a student going away. But let's face it, after you just described for us, Megan, that household that you grew up in, a very Catholic household, and the fact that you were commuting every day to the University of Montana, clearly those roots just got deeper and deeper in your faith. And it'd probably be a lot more difficult to get caught up in the college scene that we hear all the negative things about when you're going home to mom and dad every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's something to be said of the, well, you already said it, Bruce, pros and cons. But going into debt, or when you're trying to find a way to finance it yourself, you know, you balance those decisions and you try to make the right ones for yourself.
Before we move on, you attended World Youth Day when the Pope was in Denver. At what point in your life was that? What do you remember from it? And was there any takeaway, meaning something that might have had a profound impact on you? Or is it, sorry, Bruce, it's just a cool memory, nothing that I'm still hanging on to today?
No, you know, I think I was a junior in high school, and okay. I remember seeing the Pope, Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, and it was like he was glowing. I mean, there was just something, I don't like think about it every day of my life, but when I think about that, I think about just the holiness, just the way that seeing him made me feel was like, wow, there is something divine here. So I remember that specifically, and then being in a field with thousands and thousands and thousands of people and waiting for that plane to land. But seeing him was profound.
Yeah, I must say that with as quickly as you answered the question, it to me sounds like a memory that's as clear as if it happened last month and not several years ago.
Right. Yes.
It's crazy that the NFL season is just starting, and yet in 1 month, Megan's sport, basketball, meaning the NBA, will already be back. We heard some cool basketball stories 4 weeks ago on episode 290 from Christopher Chen, who also talked about the Knights of Columbus, and he told an amazing healing story having to do with his eyesight. And he also talked about being a Catholic life coach for Freedom Coaching. MLB, of course, is in the home stretch. And striking out in baseball stinks. You know what else stinks? Striking out in your marriage because of an attachment to pornography. Instead of staying at the Mendoza line in the game of love, let Freedom Coaching help you learn how to start hitting home runs in your life. Visit freedom-coaching.net and be free from porn forever. I want to turn now to the couple of films that I mentioned in the intro, which both have to do with sports, and I'm going to ask Megan if there is any influence of her Catholic faith in her work as a producer on both of those. But my apologies first, as I realized that I never said thank you on the show. I did so on social media a couple weeks ago, but you had heard me for a little bit asking help to get to 600 followers on the Catholic Sports Radio Instagram account, and that plateau has, in fact, since been reached. So my gratitude here now for having helped get to that milestone, so to speak. Your support of this ministry means a lot to me. In fact, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. If you've been listening for a little bit now, you know that this is neither my full nor my part-time job and that I don't get any income whatsoever from doing this show. It's a calling that I felt from the Lord, and I have challenged myself to remain obedient to it. Although one of the challenges that I do face in operating this ministry is having to somehow try to come up with money out of my own pocket to cover the various expenses that are part of operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air, many of which I have detailed over a great number of episodes of this show. All that to say, as I continue to put out the call for your consideration of Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, when you do so, it not only helps me with those bills that I face, but it tells me that you like what I'm doing, that you enjoy the show, that you believe in my vision for Catholic Sports Radio, and it tells me that you see value in all the time I put into keeping Catholic Sports Radio going for what is now more than 5.5 years, every week without missing once. If what I'm saying right now moves you to want to show that support, I ask you to be prayerful in taking action through one of the following two methods. The fast, easy, and secure way to do that is through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, again, or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. That will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people do not like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, though, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, just like you have heard me do on other episodes when guests or listeners have made a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Megan, before all that, I mentioned wanting to hear about two of your films. Let's break this into two questions and have you start first with Playing Like a Girl, The House That Rob Built, which will be available to PBS stations nationwide and the PBS Amazon Prime documentary channel starting November 1st. Tell us what that documentary is about and why it's timely now.
Well, the documentary is about Coach Robin Selvig, who in 1978 took over the reins of the University of Montana women's basketball program. He himself played for the men's team, but did not even know there was a women's team at the time. It's a very different world. And he built a house of inclusion and empowerment. He recruited females from very small towns, like from where he was from, ranches, reservations. And he drilled in these women in a time that where that wasn't happening is, I expect you to play just as hard as the men. I don't see a difference. I'm coaching a basketball team. And it was so empowering for the women at that time. And because of that empowerment, generationally, that baton was passed so that each generation realized what was being called and asked of them, which is to aspire to greatness. And when he retired in 2016, Missoula, Montana was the third toughest place to play in the country. He had amassed 865 wins with 200 and some losses. But more than that, he built a community of people who championed the program, who believed in these young athletes, these young women, and it just transformed the community. It's one of the most incredible places, and I had the fortune to watch it as a young girl and then to play there. It's a very special place. And so, you know, you're always looking for a story that's out there. Oh, you know, this story about XYZ, and it's like, the story's right in my backyard, and it needs to be told. And by the grace of God and Family Theater Productions, we were able to finish the film.
And at a time when Caitlin Clark has shown a very bright light on women's college basketball.
Well, yeah, the Caitlin Clark effect is just magnificent in what she's doing. And then it has also sparked this great conversation, which she has led and talked about, is the women that came before her, that she was able to say, oh, I want to be, you know, there's a time when you wanted to be like Larry Bird for women in the 80s. And now there's a time where you want to be like Caitlin Clark, or you want to be like Cheryl Swoops. I mean, this whole, so many women have paved the way, and Caitlin continues to carry that torch, and she carries it so beautifully and with so much grace and just the ability for young girls to say, I want to be that. And, you know, just like as when she was a little girl, she wanted to be like the players before her.
And audience, there were certain words, I don't know if you picked up on them also, that Megan was saying. She talked about transformation. She talked about community. She talked about striving for greatness, which you could kind of interpret through a Catholic lens as striving for holiness, teamwork, fair play, all those things. So even though I had kind of alluded to it earlier that I was going to ask Megan about these films and whether her Catholic faith influenced her at all, you kind of hear that coming through, whether intentional or not. And by the way, there is a website for that documentary. I'm going to put a link to it on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net so you can click over and see more about it. I also encourage you to tell your smart speaker to give you a reminder on November 1st that Playing Like a Girl, the house that Rob built, will be out that day. It's easy to remember anyway, because that, of course, is All Saints Day. Megan, tell us also about Native Ball, Legacy of a Trailblazer from last year.
Well, what's interesting about documentaries, so the house that Rob built, we filmed so many things. We had like 70 interviews. There were so many stories you can't tell because you have a limited period of time. And one of those stories that's in the house that Rob built was the story of Malia Kipp. And Malia Kipp is from Browning, Montana. She is part of the Blackfeet Reservation. And she was the first Blackfeet to receive a full ride Division I scholarship. And at the time, there were two other Native American women playing Division I basketball. And they had received theirs, I think, the year before or 2 years before. So very, very small group when you think of the thousands and thousands of young women who are offered scholarships. And so it's her story of carrying the burden of having to make it, of knowing that, as heavy as it was, and because being from a tribal community is so much, being from a small town, so Browning has 1,000 people, I think, in the population. But put on top of that, a tribal community, the closeness, the family, you know, all these things that are just different. Even though we're all from Montana, we're not from the same Montana. So for her to come to the University of Montana in a time where there weren't cell phones, she can't FaceTime. She, you know, her parents came to every single home game. But she really had to take this journey by herself. She was the only Native American on the team. You know, and there are differences, and there are things now, hopefully we can bridge and understand cultures better. But, you know, many times where she's like, I don't know if I can do this, but she talked about her community. She talked about her grandma saying, God gives you something, he'll help you through it. If he gives you this, it's a privilege and an honor. And she, because of her success, because that she finished, it opened the door for 8 or 9 other Native American women to come play at the University of Montana. Not all of their stories are the same, but it's all the same journey of like, oh my gosh, I see someone like me. I see another Native American girl, and she's playing, and she's playing at the highest level, and I want to do that. And you know what? She did it. Okay, now I can do it. And even when I think the next girl had said, when I thought I wanted to quit, I remembered, no, Malia did it. And if Malia can do it, I can do it. So it's really this, you know, this these unsung hero heroic stories where they're everywhere. Those stories in all of our communities. And I'm just so grateful that Malia was open for us to explore her story more and for us to be able to bring that out to PBS last year. And you can still watch it on PBS app. And so there's other ways on PBS to watch that if you go to nativeball.com.
Okay. Yeah, I do love that title because the word trailblazer kept coming to mind as you described more and more of her story and the door that she opened for those that came after her that you mentioned that they would look up to her and say, well, if she can do it, and I can too. Your production company, is it just a coincidence that these are a couple of basketball documentaries? Are there projects that y'all do that have nothing to do with basketball or with sports? Or is it, you know, no, that's intentional?
No, Family Theater. If you go to familytheater.org, in fact, you'll find so many wonderful things. We have a series, a short digital series called Special Abilities. We have one about marriage, short series. We tell a number of different stories. It's just these two stories have come out most recently. And so familytheater.org is content for family viewing. Might not be all together, might be different ages, but I'd encourage viewers, if you're looking for something for your family, to go to familytheater.org. And we have a Catholic series for catechism, catechesis, and we have that also in Spanish. So there's a lot of different things. We're not a sports company, but these are two sports stories.
Yeah, you're not a sports company, and you're not intentionally trying to do Catholic projects, but you have done both. So a great resource for sure, audience. And you can see why Megan is such a wonderful fit to be a guest on Catholic Sports Radio. Since you started to go there, Megan, let's talk some women's basketball. You mentioned Caitlin Clark before, who, by the way, is Catholic. If anyone out there has a connection to helping me get her on the show. Megan, were you already a close follower of the WNBA when she started into the league this year? Are you following the WNBA even more this year as a result of all the attention she has brought to the league? And any feeling on if the momentum will continue for the WNBA or if, unfortunately, in this short attention span society that maybe people will lose interest and move on to something else? What are your thoughts on all of this?
Okay, no, I do not follow the WNBA. And I haven't, while she's there, I mean, follow little clips here and there, and I think it's just by virtue of things I have going on, and it's not intentional. I'd love to watch her play, But I will tell you, I don't think it's a fad. I don't like the way she's been performing. It's only, I think, going to grow and more followers and the excitement. Like, she's doing amazing things and she's breaking records as a rookie. So I do think this isn't just a flash in the pan. The boat will rise even higher and it'll be fun to watch. One thing I love about her story, in a time where there's the NIL and the portal and all these different things, is she stayed at Iowa, and I didn't know about her until her junior year. Now, maybe other people did, and that was just me, and I wasn't, you know, following it. But she put her time in. She played her role. And then she shined so bright. And that's a beautiful story to me, and one that I don't think will be told as often with all these changes in sports. So it's really inspiring to see when she did what she did, and it wasn't a freshman. Now, again, I could be wrong, but I just thought, oh my gosh, I didn't hear about her until her junior year. That's really beautiful for young people to say, gosh, I'm not going to be the star right away. I'll put my time in behind so-and-so, and I'm going to, you know, when my time comes, I'll be ready, and I'll be ready because other people help me be ready and get better.
Well, and despite how high her star has risen, how brightly it has shone, I still feel that there is a sense of humility that you detect just from watching her and not even having spoken to her. So praise God that she's not letting it go to her head and that it has brought more attention to the WNBA and not only to women's basketball, but I think kind of opened the door even wider for women's sports so that we can finally break through. It's so wonderful to hear you tell that story about the coach saying, you're going to play just as hard as the men. All I know is I'm coaching a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting back over to your faith life, tell us about the Father Peyton Prayer Guild.
Okay, so Father Peyton, and we did a documentary about him called Pray, the Story of Patrick Peyton. He founded our organization, Family Theater Productions, in over 75 years ago.
Mm.
And he was just a force of nature. When he was like, God gave him something, Blessed Mother was his guiding light. When he was given the task of, I want families to pray together. I want them to pray the rosary. If they're not Catholic, pray whatever prayer that they need to pray, but daily prayer. And the rosary was his thing. And so he started this ministry. He got all the stars of the day to work with him doing these values-driven radio shows, Family Theater of the Air. Well, now his ministry has grown. So Family Theater Productions is one of his ministries. There are many others under the umbrella internationally. And the Guild is really focused on, we're praying for the canonization of Father Peyton as a saint for family prayer, the continuation of his mission through Holy Cross Family Ministries, and then for families around the world, for the family that you're praying with in your chapter, if you decide to become a chapter as a family or an individual or just a group of people from all walks of life, that you're really committing to praying for families, praying for each other, because the family needs, as you know, prayer in every single way. So became a member of that guild. My sister and I started a rosary group in Santa Monica when we lived there one Lent, and we kept it until we left there in 2020. So it's kind of, being part of the guild was born out of that Monday night rosary.
I love it. I love it. And especially the part about praying for him to become a saint. Folks, if you're interested in finding out more, just go on the internet and search for Father Peyton Prayer Guild, and it's P-E-Y-T-O-N. Megan, let's close by having you share with the audience about the consecrations that you have done, as well as, I won't spoil it, as well as something that you wear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done the total consecration to Mary a number of times, St. Louis de Montfort's, and need to do it again. Just talking to my colleague back east this morning, she's starting it, I think, the 4th, and so this is kind of funny that this would come up. And mm-hmm. then the total consecration to St. Joseph. And that consecration to St. Joseph was such a game changer in my life on fatherhood and has inspired some thoughts, even on productions or ideas that we're going to do for within our company. That idea of fatherhood and him as a father and as a real life father and the struggles that he faced raising his family, and especially when you have Jesus, but just the day-to-day realities. And I just, he was brought to life in such an incredible way, one that he had never been brought to life that way for me before. So fatherhood is so much on my mind, and I had one of the best fathers. Joseph is the best father of a model earthly. And so that consecration by Father Calloway was just transformative, really.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. And share with the audience what I'm referring to in terms of something that you wear.
The brown scapular. I wear the brown scapular. I also often have a bunch of medals on me. Some of them got lost recently, but St. Therese and St. Joseph and the Miraculous Medal, four-way medal. But I like my medals and I love my scapular.
Well, Megan, I'll tell you, this just flew by, and my gosh, we packed so much in. This was a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I'm so glad to have gotten to talk to you. Thank you for having made time to be on Catholic Sports Radio, and God bless you and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a privilege to speak with you today. Thanks for all you're doing.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, as a nod to the athletic career that Megan had that you heard all her years in basketball, I thought it fitting that we close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.